broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Here's the thing. Barbara Boxer, imagine this.
We want everybody to be civil. We want this issue.
When I looked at the screen had already...
But a movie that you're acting in, you don't have a lot of control.
Stop using dirty catheters.
Nappy is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. Every night till 1 o'clock and 4 a.m., we take you through the looking glass and beyond. We go places other talk shows wish they could but can't. We go places where other talk shows wish they could but they can't. And a bunch of other things we could say that, you know, it would just sound like we're really kissing our own asses, and, you know, we'd rather you do that. Anyway, of course, I'm kidding about that. Welcome to our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Tonight, we have Margaret Gray on the line to be talking about a very frightening crime that was committed within the last 24 hours. And we will also have Mr. Dean Wheeler on from the Northern California Holistic Center. Arizona had a proof of citizenship requirement for voting. It's been overturned by an appeals court, a proof of citizenship before you vote. And there's some people that think proving you're a citizen before you vote is not such a crazy idea. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. We'd like you to visit for live streaming audio, live streaming video of the show right now. You can go over there, get a backstage pass, be a part of not only seeing the streaming video and hearing the audio podcasts, tomorrow's show, download them all. We just had another month made into downloads by our crew. We have archives that go back over 10 years. We have, in other words, the greatest radio website in the world. And PC World calls it one of the funniest of any website on the web. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Chicago, WKRS 1220 AM, and in Allentown, Pennsylvania, WSAN 1470. Two stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network, where we're very, very proud to have. And again, our website, philhendryshow.com. We're joined by Margaret Gray, who is at a screening tonight, but we are very grateful that she made some time to join us and talk with us about an issue that's as, about as scary a thing as I could imagine, Margaret. And again, thank you. I know you're in an area that it may be difficult to hear me. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine. So we're just wrapping up.
And what screening were you at?
He's a young director. His name is David Applewhite. He's very good. I think you're going to hear a lot about him. This is a very interesting film. It's a little biographical. But we had a good time watching it.
All right. Margaret, the story that we're talking about here, a four-year-old boy accidentally shot his mother with a semi-automatic shotgun.
Yes.
The father gave the boy ammo because he was curious about firearms. A four-year-old boy playing with a semi-automatic shotgun accidentally shot and wounded his mother. Investigators say the boy was given a shotgun cartridge by the father. This is in Bremerton, Washington. He was playing with it. He loaded it into the shotgun while his mother was on the phone with her back to him. Scott Wilson, a spokesman for the Kitsap County Sheriff, said the wounds were caused by birdshot, which is not a very big piece of shot, but nonetheless, that sticks in the skin.
And you have to go to the emergency room, Phil. And let me tell you, at a close range, that will blind a human being. It can. It will open up a hole in a human being. It is not anything that anybody is going to take very lightly to hospital. And the father giving that cartridge to that boy is so suspect. And it is such a suspicious thing that I refuse to believe the police are not looking into that.
I would agree. I would agree.
You know, giving that cartridge to that child, and then he would be able to say, oh, I didn't know, it was an accident and so forth.
All right, well, let me read on here just a couple of things. It was birdshot. The father gave the boy the cartridge because he was interested in guns. On Monday afternoon, the boy found an unloaded semi-automatic 12-gauge shotgun under a blanket on the bed. The bolt was pulled back and locked open. All the kid did, according to police, was drop the shell in the chamber, touch the bolt release, and pull the trigger. He'd probably seen his dad do it 100 times. Wilson said the shotgun was still on the bed when it went off. The boy did not lift it up. The woman was treated and released from the hospital. There have been no arrests, though.
That is surprising to me.
However, prosecutors could decide to file charges once the investigation is complete. None of the family members have been identified publicly. I know that you, Margaret, have written an interesting book that is I think has either come out or is due to be released
in November. Phil, Walk Away from Fear is it's a book really about being a mother of a son. And being the mother of a son is really kind of, it's a wonderful experience. It's, boys are very special. They're very, they're wonderful human beings. They're interesting. Boys are far more emotional than girls. Boys open their hearts to you much more readily than girls. And I don't know whether that's because there might be a little bit of a competition with girls, between girls and mothers. I don't know. And I'm going to move out of this room, Phil, if you don't mind, because... I have to close the door here.
It was getting a little noisy.
Yeah, I wasn't able to hear. Boys, I think, are wonderful. I am the mother of a 13-year-old boy, Jason J. Delmonico. He is an artist. He's a child actor. He's a student, but he's also just a child. And we do a lot together as mother and son. His father is... Frank is a good deal older than me, as you know. Frank is 20 years older than me. So his father's in his 70s. And so Frank is not as active, perhaps, as a lot of fathers can be. He is involved in Jason's life. But when it comes time to just going out and doing things together, I love to go out with my son. I took him to a football game a couple of weeks ago. We went to see the UCLA game.
Oh, over the Rose Bowl, uh-huh.
And then I took him to dinner in Pasadena, and we had a good time. And those are the times that I spend with my son. But you are never too far away if you are a mother who is aware. And if you are a mother who is aware of the realities of having a son, you're never that far away from being aware of the fact that that little boy, as much as you love him, and I worship the ground that my son walks on, I give my life for him. But I am not too far away from the realization that that child, he is a male, and they can turn very, very quickly into a very dangerous individual because they are male, because they have the genetic predisposition as well as the hormonal predisposition to violence. So you're never too far away from that little boy who you love very much turning on you. And
well, in your book... and in reading it, I was disturbed because there for women to love their sons and yet fear them, you know.
No, there is no. You never fear your son. You are prepared. I don't go anywhere without some kind of protection when I'm with him. It sounds strange. It sounds like something that no mother would consider doing.
Well, you say in your book that you don't go anywhere when you're with your son Jason. You don't go anywhere.
Jason J.
You don't go anywhere without. Mace or pepper spray?
Well, that sounds a little dramatic. I always carry some form of protection with me.
Even if it's just, if you're at home alone with your son?
If I'm home alone with my son, I always want to have something handy.
And we're not talking about the house getting broken into.
No, Phil, we're not talking about the house getting broken into, but I want to be clear about something. I love my son very much. I don't think my son is a bad child. But he's a boy. And because he's a boy, he is male. And since he is male, he will someday be a man. Now, all three of those create a holistic dynamic that means, among many things, the fact that he is predisposed to very aggressive and terribly frightening violence. Rape, murder, and so forth. So, there are three things in my book.
Rape, all right. I just want to stop you there because I think that's a very...
there are three things in my book. I wish you wouldn't stop me now.
Well, let me give our phone number, and then I want you to continue. I'm not going to a break. We're talking with Margaret Gray. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. A 4-year-old boy accidentally shot his mother with a semi-automatic shotgun. The woman is okay. It was birdshot. But this was a 4-year-old boy whose father had given him a cartridge to drop into the shotgun, which the child did do. He never lifted this gun, Margaret, off the bed. So apparently this baby put this cartridge in the gun. It's a four-year-old child. Don't you think the father is more to blame?
Well, I think the father is an absolute idiot. I mean,
don't you think he's to blame for the injury to the mother?
There is no question the father is an unbelievable, unconscionable idiot. But he's an idiot for two things. He's an idiot for giving a child the cartridge to a shotgun. He's also an idiot for giving the cartridge to a shotgun to a little boy. He knows, like any father should know, like any mother does know, that this is a small boy, prone to violence even at a very early age. Now, there are three very, very easy, basic rules that I lay down at the beginning of my book. Number one, when you are with your son, or you're with more than one son, and some women have three or four or five sons, and that multiplies the risk.
Maria has three sons. Are you saying that she should have had mace?
Let me just go through the three. Always protect yourself when you're at home with your sons, if you're out driving. You love them, you're having a good time with them, but never keep your hand too far away from mace, pepper spray, something like that. Number two, if your son or sons, and God forgive me for saying this, but God help you if more than one of your sons goes off. If your boy goes animal, I tell you in my book how to talk him down from this animal-style male rage that they can many times find themselves in. Number three, this is very important, Phil. Remember proper dress. He is your son, but he is, as I said, not too far away from this genetic predisposition to violent rape. Never dress provocatively in front of your son.
Okay, that is going to scare a lot of people when you say that.
No, I understand that, but let me...
Because, first of all, rape is a violent act.
It is absolutely a violent act, but I am trying to cut down the odds.
And you're saying, and I want to be clear, if you dress provocatively in front of a son, you are running the risk of provoking him to rape.
You are running the risk, yes, if the time is right, if the place, if the mood is right, if the setting is just right, and he feels he has nothing to lose.
And what do you mean by nothing to lose? We're talking about your son now. We're talking about a boy, okay?
I understand that, Phil.
You're making it out like this child is thinking in an extremely calculating way.
Phil, I just say in my book, I think it is very sound advice. I don't think any mother should dress provocatively in front of a daughter or a son. So wear baggy jeans, wear the frumpy sweaters. Dress like a tomboy. Dress. I use the word lesbian. You don't necessarily have to subscribe to that word, but dress in a very non-sexual way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. As we talk here to Margaret Gray, who is the editor of A Little Bird Told Me, nationally syndicated column. Her book is called Walk Away from Fear, the story of a four-year-old boy accidentally shooting his mother with a shotgun. Sort of goes to the essence of Ms. Gray's book, which is that sons, your son, my sons, anybody's son, is a male, and therefore is not too far from a genetic predisposition to violence. And mothers, even with their sons, should carry mace or pepper spray. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here and talk more. Very interesting topic. I don't know how anybody is to apply this. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What does that mean?
I just don't know.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Back with Margaret Gray, the author of Walk Away from Fear. It is a book that she has written concerning the relationship of women with their sons. Story today, a four-year-old boy accidentally shoots his mother with a semi-automatic shotgun. As a four-year-old child, should never have had the gun. The father gave this child the gun with a cartridge. But you say it is a instinct, it is a conscious instinct, it is not too far from the surface, the instinct of every male, even a four-year-old, to do violence to their mother.
Yes, Phil, because it's very, very, it's part of the Oedipal reflex that that Freud talks about, that a boy wants to physically possess his mother, either through death or through the act of sex. So as a mother, I love my boy, but I keep mace, I keep pepper spray. I have to know how to talk him out of any kind of animal rage that he might go into, the same way I would talk any potential rapist or bugger out of the act.
You're talking to your own son.
But you have to remember, Phil, you don't want the child... First of all, you don't want to call the police. You don't want the police involved. You don't want that. There is embarrassment. There is what can happen to the boy.
So what do you say to a son that is bent on, in your opinion, raping you?
Phil, you're saying this as if I'm some sort of a sick freak that made this up.
I've never heard of this, Margaret, so you have to go very slow with some of us. That's all I'm saying.
Well, look, you talk to that child the way you talk to anyone that is going to do you harm. You say to him, I'll give you what you want, but not here, not out here in the open, not here in a parking lot, or wherever. You say to him, if you have to, your sister is much more your age. Offer him your sister. Offer him your daughter. You don't mean it.
Oh, God.
You don't mean it. You're trying to talk him down from the rage.
And all right, let's say you talk him down from the rage, and do you go home with this child? And
well, if you've talked him down from the rage, there is every indication that this will be a situation that you'll be able to handle when you get home. Again, you are armed, and you have to be aware.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Michelle in Boston listening on WTKK. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this woman ever got married to begin with. I have an 18-year-old son. I've never been afraid of him.
Not only am I married, but I'm a writer, and I've studied the problem.
You have inflicted this into your son.
Excuse me, but a boy, age four, shot his mother with a shotgun.
Boy loves their mother.
Is that why this boy shot his mother? Is that why he shot his mother? Because he loves her?
He didn't mean to shoot his mother.
Oh, he didn't mean to shoot her.
You
ought to get out and see her. You ought to get out. I think you should see the world a little more.
Inflicting this into your son's being is an awful thing. You should rethink being a mother.
People like you that do more talking than listening. People like you that do more talking than listening. Is that right?
No.
You know my son? Because I know your son. And he doesn't love you at all because you never shut up. And your mouth, one of these days, is going to drive him over the edge.
Okay, we don't need that.
Well, I think what I'm saying is true. No, I think what I'm saying is true.
You're insane.
Her endless mouth is going to drive that boy to violence.
No, it's yours that is going to get your son
into a lot of problems
and turn him into a rapist.
Well, is that it? And your mouth never shutting up. What's that going to do to your son? What is that going to do to your son?
Margaret, let's talk here. Obviously, this lady is rejecting what you're saying.
Well, fine, but I'm making a very good point here. That her haranguing, and her emasculation of her own son
is predisposed to anything unless it's instilled in him, and that is exactly what you're doing.
Listen, you talk much? You know, first of all.
All right, let's be grown ups here. Now, I know that one thing that Margaret is saying is true, that there is a genetic predisposition in men and women for certain traits. Men are aggressive. We know that boys react to each other. Boys show affection by wrestling.
Exactly.
All right, by wrestling and showing sort of aggressive behavior toward each other. It's sort of a male thing. But what you're saying is that this male need to have this kind of aggressive physical action turns into rape and violence. If you don't, if you look at him cross-eyed?
Well, for instance, this woman, with her haranguing of her son, the emasculating nature of her of her tone, of this, the tone of this woman. She's going to push her boy to the point where if they find Oliver, it'll be a miracle.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And listen to her laugh. God, I hate it. I hate your show.
We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray with us. We're talking about the propensity in your book, Walk Away from Fear, the propensity of sons to commit violence against their mothers. That it's a common fear that women have. Now, what were you saying? The last caller really got your goat.
Well, Phil, you know, it is very common for women, especially that woman, because I noticed her voice was very aggressive. She had a very aggressive personality. She was a very haranguing kind of person. I don't doubt for a moment that she addresses her own son or sons in that tone of voice. And I can tell you with great authority that if she does, she's sitting on a keg of gunpowder. Edward Kemper was a famous serial killer, Phil, who murdered his own mother. And I'll try not to be graphic, but let me put it to you this way. He threw something into the garbage disposal, and it jammed the garbage disposal. Kemper's famous quote was, "She never shut up in life, and now she jams up the garbage disposal." So you can see, and that's a very good example of Charles Whitman, another man that killed his mother. Daniel Patrick recently, the murderer of his mother, because she wouldn't let him play video games, and on we go. I've written a book that will try to, at least will keep some women alive, maybe not that woman from Boston.
All right, well, we don't know anything about that woman from Boston. You wanted to comment on her call, and that's as far as I'm comfortable going. I don't want to make any commentary about her family, her son.
Well, I'm making it. I can tell you she was a haranguing, caterwauling. I could just tell they with the mouth.
All right, well, we'll let that speak for itself. We're talking with Margaret Gray here on the propensity of violence in young men. Possibly against their mothers. You've also said mothers should carry mace and pepper spray around their own sons. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Judy. Go ahead, Judy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Mm-hmm. Gray, I have three sons. They're 42, 40, and they're 35.
Mm-hmm.
I spent my life raising them, and I lived with them. I walked around in underwear in front of them, and they walked around in underwear in front of me. Nobody ever looked at anyone sexually.
Oh my God.
I think that you have a fantasy that your son is going to look at you sexually. I think that's something you might want.
You walked around in underwear in real life. Now, who has the fantasy? I dare
you have a fantasy.
You.
This is a home. When you're walking around naked in your underwear in front of your boy. Why not?
For the very reasons that I gave you. If you are going to provoke a son who has a genetic predisposition to animal behavior, you think it's normal, in other words, to walk around topless.
Can I talk for a moment? I want to be clear.
You walked around topless or just in panties or what did you do?
Oh, in underwear. My children never displayed animal behavior. My children never tried to hurt me. My children were taught from a very early age. They never touched their mother, and they never did. I have three terrific grown men who are all married and daddies. And I don't understand where you're coming from.
I am telling you that it is just below the surface. And to walk around, I will tell you, if you feel comfortable Well, of course I'm stuck with the underwear. You walking, you parading yourself in front of your son. What is that about?
What is that about? I lived in a house.
Women, a lot of women. Yeah. I mean, Margaret, I don't know, but there are a lot of women, they've got kids and they are going to jobs and they are getting breakfasts made and they're walking around nude, you know, especially if the kids need them, they're coming out of the bathroom, you know.
Really? And the boy is 17. That's really,
well, no, I didn't say 17, but younger children.
Well, I find that, call me crazy, I find that to be very, very wrong.
Look, now,
this woman dodged a bullet.
You're putting words.
Good for you.
Margaret, you're putting words in my mouth.
Well, what am I saying that isn't true?
You're making a thing out of this. But what happened was, as the years went by and the kids got older, if I was in underwear, I never ran into the bathroom and shut the door. We lived in a home. This was our home.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, the older you got, the more naked you got. See, that goes against the grain.
No.
The older you got, the more the clothing came off.
No.
Well, that's what you said.
The older I got, the more the clothing went on. But if I was in underwear, I never hid from them. I was their mother. They never looked at
me as a sexual being. I don't want to beat it to death, but let me just say this. If you're walking around in underwear, how do you know your sons aren't, quote, beating it to death? And I'm not going to go any further with that. And
you have
a tremendous fear, okay? And I think you also have a wish that your son will...
That's vicious.
Is either going to harm you or your son is going to want you sexually. And I think
that if anybody has
a problem, it's you.
I am an attractive woman, all right? So a man wanting me is not unusual. Why wouldn't my own son... And if you're
come on! I mean, there is such a thing as there's some kind of restraint, civilized restraint that human beings don't see. Everybody is a sexual conquest. You know, some people are just mom.
Some people are mom, Phil, and some people are mom. And if it's a boy who has millions of years of genetic predisposition to killing animals with his bare hands, what he wouldn't want to do to his own mother?
All right. Yes, Judy, go ahead. One final thought.
Your son is your child. Okay?
Yes.
I take it you gave birth to him.
He's also a walking time bomb.
He's not a walking time bomb. I think you need to take a look at yourself. Thank you. I'm finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, please, thank you. Put some clothes on.
Well, that was not necessary.
Well, she's talking about walking around. And I did hear her say, as the years went on, I quit running to the bathroom and slamming the door. So in other words, her high school senior son, her adult or her teenage sons, come home, and mom is sitting on the couch in a brassiere and panties and decides, oh, well, they're 18, so I'll just sit here with my underwear pulled up, what, to a wedgie?
I don't think anything that woman said even went near anything like the way you're describing it.
Well, how do I know? She's sitting there on the couch and decides, oh, there are the boys, and she reaches back and yanks it up. For laughs, maybe.
877-876-PHIL, talking to Margaret Gray here about the possibility that your son, if you're a woman, has violent intent toward you, including rape. Leon in Portland, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Well, I hate to burst Margaret's bubble. I'm 64 years old. I've been taking care of my 87-year-old mother for going on three years now.
Well, that's a recipe for disaster.
Let me ask you a question. It really is.
You've been with your mother for how long? How long have you been with your mother?
Hey, lady, shut up a minute.
Did you say, well, no, excuse me? No one
I
tells
said,
me to
shut
up
a minute. Let me talk.
No one tells me to shut up.
I just
Now
said.
I'm going to talk even more. How long have you been with your mother?
All right, I'm going to exercise some control. Just let the man talk.
And I can't ask a question.
No, just let him talk. Go ahead, sir.
I visit my mother. I live with my wife and my son. I'm the youngest of three brothers. None of us ever raised a finger to our mother. My son would never raise a finger to my wife because we respect one another. It's the law of God that overrules your so-called...
Or you're afraid of being arrested. Or you're afraid of being arrested.
Right. I'm not sure.
Are you not afraid of being... And let me ask you a question. Are you not afraid of being arrested? Of course you are.
If I can...
Well, maybe he's not afraid... He's afraid of being arrested, but he's not afraid of being arrested for attacking his mother.
But he doesn't know because it is a genetic predisposition. You know, sir, I'm having a hard time understanding you because this is how you sound. Your words are coming out in a spastic manner.
You're crazy and jaybird, lady. I don't understand it.
Jaybirds are not crazy. You're worried about me now, so you're very concerned for me.
I'm concerned about you. You're crazy as a jaybird.
You're very concerned. Are you really? How is a jaybird crazy? I don't know about... That's not a very good comparison, is it?
It's a question that every sentient human being understands, madam. Your son, if you have a son, should run away as far and as fast as he can because you're crazy as Mother Bates.
Well, it might be.
And you're raising a Norman Bates by your delusion.
Well, you can insult me all you want, but you're the older son that still visits his mother like a good little boy, don't you? You do, don't you?
What's wrong with taking care of your
wife? How old are you?
Don't you want to take care of you when you're in?
You go over and you visit your mother and do what? What do you do to her?
What do you do to that woman? I take her to the doctor.
You don't want to say, do you? You had to think about that?
You paused for a long time.
And the reason why you paused is because you didn't want to blurt out, I go over there with a desire to bash her brains in.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, my God, Margaret.
Well, why didn't the man answer? Why didn't he answer right away?
You asked him, what do you do to your mother? I mean, first of all, what do you do for your mother would have been a more appropriate question.
No, what do you do to your mother?
All right, so you ask him that, and the man is taken aback by that. Okay.
Taken aback, or is he thinking, what does she know?
Mrs. Bates,
Little Lord Fauntleroy, you have your opinion. And when you go over to see your mommy, make sure she dresses you in your Buster Browns.
Okay.
You're the man in his 40s that's going up to the house on the hill.
Got all the aspersions you want, lady, but you're still a nut job, and everybody knows it.
Your mother is in danger. You going over there, locking the door, drawing the blinds, and saying, Mom, I'm here, and she wets the bed.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What is wrong with a man taking care of his mother? You turn it into the possibility of an assault. A man, three men who are raised by a woman. She walked around in her underwear. Women do that. But for you, every boy has this fantasy that is not far from the surface of wanting to attack and brutalize, including rape, his own mother.
You know, Phil, I am getting all kinds of heat here tonight. But there was a man not too long ago by the name of Sigmund Freud who said it was the secret desire of every man to have sex with his mother. And that man is in the Hall of Fame. That man is featured in encyclopedias around the world and considered the father of modern psychoanalysis. And yet I, Margaret Gray, I speak these truths, and I'm a nut job. I'm Mrs. Bates. While that man gets to drive to his mother's house tonight, laughing about the conversation he had with me, goes into the house, draws the blinds, locks the door, while his mother shakes with fear.
You'd have no idea.
So, well, then I do know who Sigmund Freud is.
All right. Well, you're right about Freud, but that is an interpretation you're putting on it that may not exist at all in the annals or in the minds of those who know his work. Here is Elizabeth in Tennessee, Chattanooga, listening on WPLZ. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
God almighty.
Elizabeth? All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to... I think we've got George on the line, and George is in Nashville. Go ahead, George. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, I was going to try to be nice, but I am sorry. I think this lady is an idiot. I think she's raising a monster. She's teaching him to be a monster. I mean,
what are you talking about?
You are crazy.
Have you ever heard of, a loon or a jaybird, something like that? Have you ever heard of Sigmund Freud? Do you know who he is?
If you walk around with mace and weapons around your son scared of him, you're going to teach him that he is a monster, and that's what you're doing with him. You are crazy. These people.
That's like saying that a
man sticks to your arm taking care of his mom, and you think that he's going there to beat her up? You are crazy.
I think the fantasy is not.
I can't believe anybody would publish a book that you write. You are an idiot.
Let me ask you something. How do you know that man doesn't secretly fantasize?
Because he does not. There is a bond between a man and his mom, and they take care of their mom. There is a love. Yes, there is.
What about Daniel Petrick?
I think the lady before was right.
What about Daniel Petrick?
Daniel Petrick was a disturbed man. Now, and you want to say that every man is disturbed to that level, whether he's a psychopath or psychotic, because Daniel Petrick or Kip Kinkle or Charles Whitman or Edward Kemper or any of these guys killed their mothers. This is aberrant behavior, and we're talking about the normal young male.
The normal young male, Phil, is genetically connected to millions of years of DNA that goes back to a time when males out of the tribe leapt on the back of an animal and tore its throat out with their teeth. But don't tell me that the man that's going to visit his mother tonight in Portland, that woman shakes with fear.
He's going to take care of his mom because he respects his mom and he loves his mom because
really?
She took care of him all his life. And I think somebody needs to call DHS on you and they take your son away from you because you're raising a monster
get me away from him. And I can tell you something else. If you've never heard of a boy killing his mother because
There's 6 billion people in the world.
I know what it was. I forgot. Ed Gein. You know who he is?
Ed Gein didn't kill his mother.
You don't know who Ed Gein is? Of course you don't know who Ed Gein is. He gutted his mother like a deer.
No, he did not. His mother died of natural causes. Ed Gein went insane after she died.
Yes, and then killed other women that looked like her, put on their skin, and wore it like a dress.
Oh!
You people, of course he has to go, because he doesn't want to hear the truth.
Ed Gein was psychotic. Ed Gein was psychotic. He was mentally. He was disturbed beyond all reason.
I'm telling you,
All right, 877-876 Phil. I appreciate your call, sir. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And if you're playing with me, Ms. Gray, you know.
What do you mean playing with you?
Well, you're going messing around with the phone.
So I can't have a couple of laughs.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Margaret Gray here on The Phil Hendry Show. Boys and their desire to kill their mothers. God.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you get a sense of humor?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I don't think you do.
All right. We're back on the Phil Hendry Show. You wanted to make a statement, Ms. Dooley? I mean, Ms. Gray, I apologize.
Well, I don't know who Ms. Dooley is.
I apologize, Ms. Gray.
I have been on your program many times, Phil, and I have been treated very shabbily a great many times. But I have never, ever, been on a radio program like yours and been treated with such disrespect as I have been tonight. Frank and I, we're going to put out I don't know if you call it a load. A download of some Broadway hits that I wanted to debut on your program this evening. But I'm really having second thoughts about it.
Ms. Gray, your subject matter was so disturbing to people that they felt the need to question your sanity.
Well, they may have felt the need to question my sanity, and maybe they should feel the need to get a penicillin shot, to take a bath. They may feel
Can't talk?
Yes, I can talk. You know what? I think I will sing one song. Here's a song that reminds me of your show, Phil, and what it's like being on your show. Death walks behind... Get it?
Okay, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
She was going to sing what?
She was going to sing Death Walks Behind You, Atomic Rooster.
Death Walks Behind You, Atomic Rooster. I apologize, Ms. Gray, if you felt badly handled.
She's back.
She's back. Okay. You know, this hanging up and getting back on the line and hanging up and getting back on the line is not going to make me very happy.
It's not going to make you happy. Here's the song I was thinking of. It's from Camel Toe.
And Camel Toe?
The musical about King Arthur, you idiot.
It ain't called Camel Toe. It's called Camelot.
You're a lion. Is it called Camel Toe or Camelot?
I think it's called Camelot.
You're both lying, and you're both men. You're both liars, and you're both men. Enough said.
Phil Hendry.
Death walks behind.